One of the most beautiful psalms in the book of Psalms, considered by many to be the most beautiful, and if not the most beautiful, at least the most beloved, is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. When we think about this psalm, I think it's that first verse that comes to mind and that is so comforting and consoling and encouraging to so many. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is a picture here in this verse of the Lord being something that we recognize and something that we know. It is a picture of a shepherd, one who tends sheep. A shepherd is one who goes out into the fields and he watches over the sheep. He leads them to the right places so they can graze and get a provender. He leads them to the right places where they can get water. He takes care of them, defends them from the things that would come to attack them. The picture of a shepherd is the picture of someone who loves and who provides care. Of course, David, who authored this psalm, was familiar with the occupation because he himself was a shepherd. And he understood the things that shepherds did. Many believe that this psalm is messianic. That is, it was written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to prophesy regarding the coming Messiah, who would himself characterize himself as the good shepherd. Jesus says as much in John 10 and verse 11 and 14, I am the good shepherd. There are two words for good in the Greek language. Unlike English language, we don't have two words for good. But these two Greek words indicate two different things. The first Greek word, the word agathos, indicates moral goodness. The other Greek word, kalos, indicates excellence and supremacy. It is this second word that Jesus uses to describe himself. Although we know that he is good, morally speaking, that's not the word that he chose upon this occasion. Rather, he chose the word kalos, which represents excellence. The idea is that Jesus is the excellent shepherd. He is the epitome of what it means to be a shepherd. He is the one who sets the standard and the example for being a shepherd. At shepherding, there is none better than Him. This evening, I would like for us to think about Jesus, the loving shepherd. And we will see that Jesus is the loving shepherd, number one, because He supplies all of our needs through His providence. Number two, Jesus is the loving shepherd because He defends us from harm and provides us with protection. And number three, Jesus is the loving shepherd because He lays down His life for the sheep and He preserves us. I hope that tonight we'll all be able to state why Jesus is our loving shepherd. And then when we go back to Psalm 23 and we read that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, we can understand that this psalm is really talking about Jesus. So let's think about Jesus as the loving shepherd. First of all, Jesus is the loving shepherd because He supplies all of our needs. Consider Philippians chapter 14 and verse 19. Paul wrote, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." It is through Jesus that we have all of our needs met. Do we understand that Paul is talking about both our physical needs and our spiritual needs? Because he is. But you know, we get confused so many times between things that we need versus things that we just want or desire. And we need to understand that what Paul is writing about here is not just anything and everything that we want or anything and everything that we desire. No, that's not what he is teaching. For example, there's a difference between needing food to survive and going to get fast food at one of the local burger joints. Yes, food is necessary to survive. That's a need. But I want to go to the burger place. You know, that there's a difference between those two things. My need could be satisfied simply by eating a carrot, maybe. Right? But sometimes our desires, our wants, go beyond our needs. And we need to be careful that we don't confuse that. Because God said He would supply all of our needs, not necessarily that He would supply everything that we desire. Many people today confuse this. And even among those who profess to be Christians, they will talk about meeting what people's what they desire, what they want, as opposed to meeting their needs. There's a big difference between those two things. We need to stay with what the Bible teaches in that regard, and that is that God is going to supply all of our needs. Jesus supplies all of our needs. Not necessarily all of what we want. And so we need to be careful regarding those things that we allow to divide us and to cause problems among us. And we need to look at those things. We need to examine them and ask ourselves this question. Are these things something that we really need? Or are they just things that we want, that we desire to have? Jesus will supply our needs. But there's also a difference between supplying and satisfying. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm going to eat until I'm satisfied, you know. And by satisfied, we mean, well, I don't want anymore. I don't desire anymore. Satisfaction is our satisfaction is not the standard that God uses to supply. Consider the story in Numbers chapter 11 about the children of Israel who had been wandering around in the wilderness. And they had been eating the manna that God had been supplying them, but they were not satisfied with it. And they asked God for meat, and God sent birds, and they had birds to their fill. And they ate so much meat it made them sick. God had supplied their need, but they were not content. And so they murmured against God, Numbers 11 says. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10 tells us not to murmur as those who murmured in the wilderness and fell because of it. They murmured because of their desires and because they were not satisfied. They were supplied, but they were not satisfied. We need to make sure that we understand what our needs are, and number two, that we're going to be satisfied with the way God meets those needs, not with the way we want those needs to be met. Then, if God blesses us with more, well, that's just icing on the proverbial cake, right? Or, as my friends from South Mississippi like to say, that's just gravy on the biscuits. You know? Of course, around here, gravy on the biscuits is necessity, right? Oh, anyway. But Jesus said He would supply all of our needs. And He promised this not only in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but also in Matthew chapter 6, when He's talking about all the things that we worry about, all the things that we think that we have to have, you know, and we're confused because we think that we need these things when the truth is we don't really need them. And so we bring so much burden upon ourselves, so much worry upon ourselves, so much anxiety upon ourselves because we think we have a need. When we don't really have a need, we just have a desire. Jesus promised us that our needs would be met if, He says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That's what we must do. Seek first His kingdom, and He will supply all of those needs. Now, our greatest need that every single person has, and I was just looking back there in the back at one of the pieces of literature we have out there about World Bible School. And it said, what is the world's greatest need? Surely God would provide us for our greatest need, right? And the answer they gave was simply this, that the work God did in the greatest way supplies the world's greatest need. And what was that work? It was the work of sending Jesus to the cross, that we might be forgiven of our sins. You see, that is our greatest need, because our own sins are the problem. They separate us from God, Isaiah 59 and verse 2. And we cannot stand before God being in our sins, because He is a holy God. And all of the righteousness that we would put forth to be pleasing unto God, Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, it's all as filthy rags. You see, there is nothing that man can invent, that man can originate, that man can set forth, contrive to answer the question, what must I do to be saved? Because that cannot come from man. It must come from God. And so Paul says in Romans 7 verses 24 through chapter 8 and verse 1, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, Christ did what we couldn't do for ourselves, and He supplied all of our needs, both physical and spiritual. That's why He's the loving shepherd. But Jesus is the loving shepherd because He defends us from all harm, and He protects us. You know, we have different kinds of devices within our houses that are supposed to protect us from certain things. One of those devices is a smoke alarm. You know, I didn't grow up in a house that had smoke alarms, but somebody invented the smoke alarm while I was growing up, and they decided that houses needed to have smoke alarms. And I think it was a good idea that they decided that, because I think that that has saved some people's lives, having smoke alarms in their houses. And the earliest smoke alarms, you know, they weren't built in like the ones that they build into the houses today, new houses. They build in smoke alarms, and they're connected to electricity. And so they're constantly on. But they also have a backup battery. Now, the ones in the older houses aren't connected to the electricity unless you get a electrician to come in and connect them. Scott, you might get some business out of this sermon, huh? I don't know. But they just run off the batteries. Well, what happens if you don't change the batteries? You let the batteries run down. Well, the smoke alarm isn't going to do you a lot of good. Now, Jesus defends us from all harm, but there's something that we have to do in order for Him to defend us. We have to let Him do His job. We've got to put batteries in the smoke alarm, so to speak. It's not a big job. It doesn't have to be done very often, but it does have to be done. And we've got to allow Jesus to defend us and protect us. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 36, when he was going to fight Goliath there, he talked about how that he had been out in the wilderness with the lions and the bears, and that how he had defended them. And he would take his sling, and he would circle that sling around and throw it at the lions and the bears to defend his flock from harm. But you know what he said in verse 36? He said, the Lord delivered him from the hand of the lions and the bears. Now, that's an amazing thing, because David knew that it wasn't just through his skill with the sling alone that he was being delivered. That the Lord had a hand in all that. The Lord had something to do, and he gave the Lord the credit for those things. And so also we have something to do, but the Lord gets the credit, because he is the one who has taught us what we must do. You see, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And the Lord will protect us if we are willing to do His will within our life and be obedient to Him. Now look at John chapter 15 for just a moment, because the Lord gets the credit, but there is something that we must do. John chapter 15 in verses 1 through 7. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in them bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And so we must abide in the vine. This is what Jesus wants us to do. If we abide in the vine, then He's going to abide in us, and then He will supply all of our needs, and He will defend us from all harm. But unlike a vine, humans have free will. And we can make the decision whether to abide in that vine or whether to take ourselves out of that. Now, I don't want to take myself out of that vine. I need to abide in it so that I can have the Good Shepherd's loving protection. If I will abide in the vine, then He will deliver me from the harm that may come my way. But the Good Shepherd defends us from external harm. And that's what we've been talking about. He warns us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Beware of false prophets. He warns us about these things because He wants us to be protected. He doesn't want us to go near things that can harm us. He protects us from external harm. But the Lord also protects us from internal harm. And I'm talking about within the flock, harm within the flock. This is when one sheep gets in a disagreement with another sheep, or there's a struggle between two members of the church, two Christians. The Lord will protect us from harm there as well if we will trust in Him. We remember the example of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in Numbers 16 amongst the children of Israel who sought to undermine Moses' authority. Sometimes we do have those who, unfortunately, turn upon their own in ways that shouldn't happen. Paul warns about this in Acts chapter 20, in verses 28 and following. He says, therefore, he's talking to the elders. He says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." And so there is the threat of internal harm. But if we will do what we need to do and respect the authority of Jesus Christ within His Word and do all things according to His will, then Jesus will protect us from this harm that may come our way. That's what Paul wrote about in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. He said, "For whatsoever you do, whether it be in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Yes, Jesus will protect us from harm that even comes within the body of Christ. Jesus can protect us even from our own selves if we will continue to trust in Him and if we will continue to seek Him and His kingdom first. See, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, and Luke chapter 15, and verse 4, Jesus talks about the sheep who have gone astray, and that the Son of Man goes looking for them, and He goes out to find them, and He will bring them back to the fold. If we will humble ourselves before Him, James chapter 4 and verse 12, set our minds on the things which are above and not things upon the earth, Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4. And if we will transform our lives to His will, not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, then Jesus, the loving shepherd, will protect us even from our own selves. Now, what do we mean by that? Oh, we mean that if we are walking in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing us from all sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Does that include a deliberate rejection of Jesus? Does that include a willful disobedience? I'm going to do it my way and I don't care what Jesus says at all? No, it doesn't include that. Because that's not walking in the light. That's not setting your mind on the things that are above. That's not transforming your life. That's not humbling yourself before God. But if we are seeking these things within our lives, then He will protect us even from ourselves. Jesus, the loving shepherd, defends us from all harm. But then finally, Jesus, the loving shepherd, laid down His life for us. There's really no human analogy to this Because if you think about a shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, and if he's killed when he lays down his life for the sheep, then the sheep are exposed because the shepherd is dead. And he's no longer there to defend them or guard them or protect them. And so then the lions and the bears and the wolves, they can come after the sheep at that point. Even a human analogy doesn't work because some lay down their lives trying to protect others, and they will die trying to protect others. But in the end, even that sometimes doesn't avail. And sadly, those that they're trying to protect end up dying also. But such is not the case with Jesus. See, the analogy breaks down here because Jesus died on the cross, but then he was raised again. And he is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. He is alive now, forevermore. And so death did not have any dominion over him. Romans chapter 6 and verses 8 through 11. And because death does not have dominion over him, he can be the perfect shepherd. He can be the one who always supplies our needs, regardless of what they might be. He can be the one who always protects us, regardless of what the situation might be. He can be the one who lays down his life for us and still saves us. Now that's not something a human shepherd can do. That's not something a person can do. Only Jesus, the Son of God, can do that. You see, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep because he wants the sheep to be forgiven of their sins. And the Bible teaches us that Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world, Galatians 1 and verse 4. He died so that we could live to righteousness, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He died so that we could be a purified people, zealous of good works, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. But Jesus' life wasn't laid down to stay down. His life was laid down so that he could rise again. He said in John chapter 10 and verses 17 and 18, that if his life is taken away, he could take it up again. He said, we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 30, that he is risen to sit on the right hand of the throne of God. In Revelation 17 and verse 14, it is said of him that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 20 and 21, that he is the great shepherd of the sheep. You see, he continues to be the good shepherd because he has risen. Jesus is the good shepherd because he supplies all of our needs, because he defends us from all harm, and because he laid down his life and then was risen again. What will our response be to that good shepherd who only wants what is best for us, who only desires that we be with him in heaven for an eternity, who has given us everything that he could give so that we could be reconciled to his loving Father? Have we gone astray like that wandering sheep? Then perhaps this evening we need to make a change within our life, if that is the case. Will you not return to the Good Shepherd this hour? He is seeking for you. He is looking for you to come back to him so that you can be part of his fold today. Why not return to the Shepherd and Bishop of your soul? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. Why not become a Christian this very hour? Through heeding the message that Jesus gave us, to hear his word and believe it, repent of sins, confess him as our Lord and Savior, and be baptized for the remission of sins. That opportunity is before you tonight. Come to Jesus, the loving shepherd, while we stand and sing.